So good evening, everybody. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And tonight is Tuesday night. What night is it? It's Tuesday. And I'm ready to play. Like I always say, Tuesday is my favorite day of the week. Why? Because I have an opportunity which I have created, and it's time to play with you. So what information am I going to give away this week? Well, this week, I'm doing a series for the next couple of weeks all about real estate, mortgages, and insurance. The things that people definitely need, but find them kind of boring, right? So what I'm doing is I'm going to bring life to these industries and let people know that these things are really, really important. And so tonight I have Jane Timlin in the studio.
Hi, Noreen.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Good.
Good. So Jane Timlin is a mortgage broker with EverBank, right? And how do I know Jane? I know Jane through my BNI, which is Business Networking International. And Jane is pretty awesome. I've known many mortgage brokers in my career before I became a personal life coach. And I would say that Jane is one of the finest. Why? Because she won. She's been quoted or noted as, was it New Yorker Magazine?
It was.
See, she's just so modest.
I know. What magazine was it? It was an industry magazine,
right,
that awarded me as a 5-star professional service.
She's a 5-star professional service as a mortgage broker. That's a big deal, Jane. Yeah. I mean, Jane is so modest, though. She's just like, whatever. But it's not whatever. Why? Why do I say it's not whatever? Jane, you know, is the kind of person that when you refer her to a friend or a colleague or even one of my own personal clients, she's like on top of their game. And the kind of mortgage broker she is, she spells it out. She educates you so that when you actually are in the process of getting a mortgage, you are educated. She holds your hand and she really goes to bat for you. I mean, she's calm. I couldn't be it because I'd be like bashing people in their heads when they mess up. But Jane is extremely calm. She's patient. She's diligent and she gets the job done. So welcome, Jane, to the show. And I wish I had a clap section. Yay! So, Jane, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, I'm more than happy to have you on my show. I love you.
I've never been on the radio before.
Aw, that's so great. So, Jane, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, you know, who you are, where you're from, and how you got into mortgages.
Okay, so I'm a mortgage professional in New York City, but I've been doing mortgages in New York for 15 years, since 2003. I moved to New York as a pretty new single mother, and I have four children that were in junior high and high school. Mm-hmm. And I had to reinvent myself because I was a stay-at-home mom. And I had to make enough money to support myself in the city. We came to the city because my youngest daughter
is it New York?
Yeah.
My
youngest daughter's an actress, and she got a part in Gypsy on Broadway with Bernadette Peters. So I took the whole family instead of commuting in and out of the city. I thought it would be best for all of us to be here.
Right.
So I put my kids in high school, and then I opened the Yellow Pages and asked...
Who is your daughter, by the way? Can you say?
Her name is Addison Timlin.
And is she a famous actress? Well, she's getting there, right?
She just filmed her 20th movie.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
And she's got a few TV shows under her belt. She's got one right now that's on the Crackle Network called The Startup. And it's in its third... It's starting its third season.
Oh, nice.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
But my kids have grown up and left me in New York. I have a son that lives in New York. The other kids are all gone. I have my oldest daughter's in New Hampshire, and she's a nurse, and she has 3 children. Mm-hmm. And then I have a lovely daughter in D.C. that just got married and is ready to start a family. Mm-hmm. And I have a son that lives in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're twins, right?
No, I don't have twins. I have birthday twins. Two of my kids have the same birthday.
Right.
And then my youngest daughter is the actress, and she lives out in L.A.
Uh-huh.
When she's not right now, she's shooting a TV show, the TV show in
Puerto Rico.
Is that
the startup?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool. So you were a stage mom.
Well, I guess I was not a real stage mom. She drove herself, but I went along for the ride. And so I don't know if I qualify as a stage mom, but yeah, I was a stage mom.
Yeah.
And then I had to find a job to support us. So I opened the Yellow Pages and asked people, would they show me how to do the mortgage business? Because one of my daughters had a friend whose mother was a mortgage broker. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and thought, she's got two kids in college. She owns two houses. She looks like if she can do it, I can do it.
Right.
So I found, after calling a number of people, I found somebody that knew that said yes. So I took them up on it. And to make a long story short, I ended up, after a few weeks, I took a position as the assistant to one of the top brokers in the country.
Mm-hmm. So you cut your teeth on one of the top brokers.
Yeah. And so I learned a lot about the business. I learned the business from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. And he was really into marketing. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't want to spend time with the clients. And I was the one that spent time nurturing the clients. Mm-hmm. And holding their hand through the process and explaining mm-hmm. the process. So it was natural to me. And that's how I developed my business when I started, because when I got my license and went on my own, I already had that client base.
Right.
Because they knew me. He had the referral sources, but I had the client base. And at the time, it started the refinance boom, so right away I was busy.
Oh, good.
And so it was a good transition for me to start out on my own. And I think I learned a lot from him about marketing, so mm-hmm. I know how to put myself out there as well.
And was mortgages, what was one of the things you wanted to do when you actually left school?
Oh, when I left school?
Yeah. What was your vision that you had for yourself and your life? Prior to children, you had no vision.
I didn't have a very good vision.
Well, no, you know, that's okay.
I grew up in a family of eight kids, and it was just survival, you know, right. Survival of the fittest. And we just went to work and figured out what, you know, how to keep
make it
going.
Happen. Right, right. You know, it's so funny because I've been reading a lot about entrepreneurs, as well as listening to podcasts, you know, like the podcast, How I Built This. Mm-hmm. And most of the people that are successful, most of the successful entrepreneurs, they didn't have a plan. They just knew something that, yeah, they didn't have a plan. Mm-hmm. They just knew there was something that they liked, something that they wanted to do, mm-hmm. and they just went for it. And one of the things I know about most entrepreneurs are the ones that they really like people. They want to hold hands with people. They want to help people do what they need to do. It's not like, oh, I just want to go in and do the market and get the money and get out. No, it's like they really like people, you know, and they want to make a difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for you, yeah. It's like, it's okay that you didn't know what you wanted to do. You just wanted to survive. But how many years have you been as a mortgage broker?
This is starting my 16th year. I worked in women's retail from uh-huh. when I got my first job. I was 15 years old or uh-huh. 14 years old and worked in a retail clothing store and worked my way up to be the manager of the uh-huh. store. And, you know, I was busy. I worked hard. So I have good hard work ethics. Uh-huh. But I always thought I should be in the arts or something creative. Uh-huh. I get to be a little bit creative in my job now, but not
as creative.
Artsy creative.
Right. But so, money creative.
Yeah.
Money creative and like.
Or just helping people structure the right loan right. for them. So
tell me, like, so somebody comes to you and they want to have. Why do people get mortgages? I mean, it's an obvious question, but why do people need mortgages?
Well, most of the time, even if people have money to pay cash, mm-hmm. interest rates are so low, historically low, then you can do other things with your money. So get right. a mortgage. You know, you have to pay some housing expenses. It's a normal process of what we do. Mm-hmm. And then you do something creative with your money. You know, start a business, buy other property, invest in, you know, the stock market, whatever people do to make money.
Mm-hmm. People come to you to get a mortgage to buy a property. What kinds of people come to you for mortgages?
I work with probably everybody, but my favorite clients, I think, are the Wall Streeters because they know money and they're really savvy about their money. But they don't know mortgages. So it's fun to work with them because they're smarter than I am, but I can
help. Well, they appear smarter than you.
But I can help them.
Right.
And then, you know, they like getting a low interest rate. They'll do a risky loan because they have the money to play with.
Right.
So.
And what's a risky loan? What would you describe?
Well, somebody might say like an interest only home equity line of credit for $2 million is a risky loan. Because you're not paying anything down on your property. You're just getting an interest-only loan. But those kind of clients, if they're on Wall Street, they're maybe making bonuses once or twice a year.
Right.
And their salary every other 8 to 10 months out of the year is low. So it helps them with their cash flow. So I understand that. And I understand self-employed borrowers. My former husband was always self-employed. So I understand self-employed borrowers, and I can talk their language.
Okay. So. All right. So we have
break?
Yeah, we're going to go on break. Let's go on break now. We're going on break, people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
You want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm speaking to Jane Timlin. Yay, Jane.
Hi, Noreen.
Jane is with Everbank, and she's a mortgage broker, and she's given us the ins and outs of what mortgage is about, the future of mortgages, why you need a mortgage, and she's just going to, like, what are the tools are, what are the tips are. She's going to fill you up so that by the end of this show, you're going to go out and get a mortgage.
Oh, call me.
That's right. We're going to give her information out, and you're going to call her, and she's going to give you a mortgage or help you with your refi. I see that Ron Foster's on the line. Ron, you should call in at 877-480-4120 and share your experience that you had with Jane, because Jane, with the help of her providing you with a mortgage, literally transformed your life. So I'd love to have people hear about that, having a mortgage or getting a mortgage, how it helped you to, like, expand your life. So Jane, anybody, is there anything that you want to share about mortgages that, like, people shouldn't do? Tell us about your 10 commandments.
Oh, my 10 commandments is, you know, I have this kind of tongue-in-cheek 10 commandments. One of them is thou shall not change jobs or become self-employed or your job. So I had a client call me today, and he's he wants to buy an apartment, but he's not starting his job until September.
Right.
So he won't have his first paycheck till October, one month paychecks. And that's one of the things you need. You need the ability to repay the loan. So how do we know he's really going to start the job in September? So he has to be working. So I had to break the news to him that, well, you're not really buying a house until late fall.
Right. So he has to, what's the series of paychecks that you have to, how many paychecks?
He had to have 1 month's worth of paychecks.
So four paychecks.
Yeah.
Is that four?
Or
two. No, two paychecks.
Yeah.
Or in England, it would be one paycheck.
Right.
So he, so most, and also tell us something else.
Thou should not buy a car, truck, or van, or you may be living in it. So a lot of times people will be buying a house and they'll, you know, they'll move from the city out into the suburbs and they'll go and buy a house. And right before we close, we find out that they incurred another $500 a month in debt, and now all of a sudden they don't qualify.
And what happens when they incur another $500 in debt? What happens?
Sometimes it doesn't affect them at all. I had somebody that, you know, at the last minute bought a Mercedes-Benz, and the payment I think was $20,000, and but it didn't affect him. He was wealthy enough; it didn't hurt. But sometimes it does, and you have to. Lower the loan amount, or they have to borrow money from somebody, or we just have to get creative. We might have to change the loan product.
And isn't that a problem if they borrow money from people? Because you have to prove where you got that money from.
You got the money from, yeah. Yes. We always have to have a paper trail of the money.
Okay. So, folks, you need a paper trail of the money. When you get in a mortgage, you need to have a paper trail. You also need to stay on your job. You cannot suddenly say, I'm buying a house and then I'm going to be self-employed. Mm-hmm. No trucks unless you can afford it. What else, Jen?
Yeah, I did a mortgage for somebody recently and she just closed. And when she called me first, she was all excited because she was on a tour, an entertainment tour. Uh-huh. And she was all excited and she had saved her money and she was going to buy an apartment in Manhattan. Uh-huh. And then I said to her, so how much longer are you going to be on tour? And she said, oh, I just quit. And that's what I said.
Right.
Maybe you should have bought the apartment before you quit. Uh-huh. So then we had to wait until she got another job.
Right.
Which, you know, actors do. They'll go from one job to another. But we did have to wait until she was employed again.
Right. And then you had to get the 4 months.
But she did just close. And it was really exciting to see her get into her new place.
And what is it like for you when you help somebody get a... Okay, let me just rephrase that because something just popped into my head. And what popped into my head was a scenario. So you have a person who's just got enough for the down payment. They've just got enough for the, you know, and a tad more to pay the mortgage, right? And this is like the ultimate dream for them. What is that like for you in getting a mortgage?
It's exciting to watch. I mean, that's part of what drives me because the rest of it is a lot of deadlines and stress getting the documents and calling a million people and saying, can you refax that or get me this statement or I'm missing a page of this. So the thing that drives me is the happiness that knowing they get a place to live. And,
right, because
and they worked hard for it and they dreamed about it and they found the perfect place.
Because it is the American dream and everybody is trying to buy an apartment or we got some buyer feedback here.
And like David said, our friend David says, you know, the best design for your life starts at home.
Yeah.
So we all start from home every day and that's the place we want it to be. And you want to make your own space. And it's much better to own it than to rent it.
Right.
It's your own space.
I was a real estate broker back in the day. And my mission for people was that they get to buy a place or rent a place that they're excited and happy with. Because when they go home at night, they should feel at peace and they should revitalize and reinvent themselves so that they can go back out into the world and conquer whatever they need to conquer. Mm-hmm. So in the realm of real estate, mortgages, it's still the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's still exciting.
So I want to know about the future. What do you think is the future of mortgages? And before we go there with the future of mortgages, future of mortgages and technology, but I want to talk about future of mortgages with all this tax stuff that's going on.
With all the tax stuff that's going on, I'm not an accountant, but and I went through this scenario with one client that I'm just closing this Thursday, and we're getting him a home equity line of credit for his whole house. That's right. The only financing he's going to have on it, and it's over $1 million.
Right.
So he, all of a sudden, I lost sleep one night thinking, oh no, home equity line of credits aren't tax deductible. I woke up in the middle of the night, called him in the morning, said, are you sure you want to do this? And then we decided, I jumped the gun a little bit and I worried prematurely and checked with a lot of accountants and Terry that we know and made sure that it's not necessarily the vehicle, it's the purpose of the loan that gives the tax advantage. So he was using it as the primary financing on his house, so it was going to be tax deductible.
Okay, great.
So we're good.
Do you see how good she is? She wakes up in the middle of the night losing sleep over making sure that the people are well taken care of.
Right.
All right, do you want to give us some more on your commandments?
So one of them is to not make large deposits into your accounts without checking with your loan officer. Sometimes people will get a chunk of money from somebody and it ends up that it came from China, or, you know, then it's a headache because it has to go through government, federal agencies to make sure the comes from legitimate sources. And a lot of times people will call me up too and say, oh yeah, I just moved all my money into one account so it would be easy. But then we have to paper trail it from every account that it came from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier to just leave it where it was, show me how you're going to use it, and not move it around.
Right.
So it's much easier to trace.
Is it possibly why they do it like this is because there used to be like a lot of drug cartel money coming into
it? Yeah, that's probably the fear behind the reason we have to paper trail it.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. What else do you have?
Don't spend money you set aside for closing. I've had a client once that, you know, we got to almost closing and we're looking at his updated bank statements. I said, where'd all your money go? He said, well, we just went to Jamaica on vacation. I'm like, yeah, and it was like, really? That's what you did? Money's gone.
So he spent the closing costs?
Yeah, and then he had to get a gift. He thought, oh, I'm only putting 3% down on my mortgage, so I have all this extra money, but the closing costs were another $10,000 that he spent on vacation.
Oh.
So then he had to get a gift. It just delayed everything. So I'm trying to think. I had another client today that I spoke with that everything was like, these people are golden. W-2 income, had enough savings, they could almost pay for the house in cash. They had job stability. He told me his credit score was 800. Like, everything was perfect.
Right.
And then I ran the credit, and the credit for his wife wasn't perfect.
Uh-huh.
She made the majority of the income, though. But their debt-to-income ratio was 23%. So they were living, they were going to be able to live really comfortably buying this, you know, more than $1 million apartment. And so what I did was thought, okay, he could go down and get a Fannie Mae loan, which the highest Fannie Mae loan that he could get would I should know the number, but it's like 627,500 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, instead of getting an $850,000 loan, maybe you can go down and get the 620. Oh, I have it right here. 679,650. So how about that? He's like, yeah, I had another bank tell me I could do that. And I thought, okay, let's think about this. I took his wife's income out of the picture and just used his income.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to get him a loan of $800,000 instead of the $850,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked. You know, I had to think about it a little bit longer, but his debt-to-income ratio was up to 43 instead of 23.
Right.
But he can still get approved by the bank.
Right.
In real life, they're going to be living with a debt-to-income of 23, so they're comfortable because her income's still there.
Right. So had you left her on the deal, what would have happened?
She wouldn't have been able to qualify.
Oh, she wouldn't have qualified because of her credit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But now she has time to fix the credit, and we might be able to bring it back in and get them the $850,000, but
But he can do it by himself.
So
now him doing
it. And then her own title, so she owns it equally as much as he does.
That was my next question. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Great. So I want to talk about mortgages and technology. Like, we have all these new fandangled internet type mortgages.
Rocket mortgages
right now, like Rocket Mortgage. Who else?
Yeah, we actually are just introducing the technology called Blend, and we're going to be able to, like, click of a few buttons, you put in your passwords to your accounts, and we can go in and get your bank accounts, and we can call your employer and get your banks, get your W-2s, and we can call the IRS and get your tax returns, and we can get your pay stubs, so you practically have to do nothing.
Right.
And so, yeah, someday mortgage brokers are probably not
going to be obsolete.
Right. They're going to be a thing of the past. Hoping I can milk another 10 years out of it.
So you think this will happen within the next 10 years?
I would think so.
So now, but here's the thing, right? You just said you could click a button and you give me all the permissions, right? And then the machine is going to go in and pull this stuff out, right? But who's going to do the work? They still need somebody to drive the car a little bit.
Yeah, the processors will do that, but nobody's going to come back to them and say, oh, if we do it this way instead. Like, I always tell my clients, I'm the buffer between you and the bank.
Right.
You can tell me everything, all the dirt, all the secrets.
Right.
And because I'm going to be able to know what's acceptable, what's not.
Right.
Not that I'm doing anything wrong. It's just you only have
language,
one shot.
Communication.
You only have one shot with the bank. You show them something and you showed it to them.
Right.
So when you click, when it's the automated system and it gets clicked up, it's going to be there.
Right.
And there's going to be nobody to say, hey, wait, let's hold this one off. And, you know, so I don't know what's going to happen to those. So everybody will have to be really clean and
yeah, but is that organized. Humanly possible for everybody to be that organized and that clean?
I can't imagine.
So
I mean, I'd like to do those mortgages that are that clean and that organized that I didn't have to worry.
Right. I'm just wondering because, like, it's, you know, it's 2 minutes to the end of the segment, but I still want to find out, like, technology is great. I love technology. I'm not going to say I don't love it. I love it. But if you can get all the clicks and the buttons and all that, and you can get all my paperwork, it's just going to scan it like a machine and you're going to say approve, disapprove. So there'll be more people disapprove because of an error. And it also might not be because your credit is bad or anything is bad. It might just be the computer doesn't read it the way a human would read it.
I would think.
And the computer doesn't have the level of creativity, you know, or, you know, moving things around as a machine does. Right. So, you know, I don't know.
So,
I still think it's going to be here for a while. I think it'll probably take about a good 10 years before that happens.
I hope so. Yeah. I need 10 more years.
All right. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're speaking to Jane Timlin about the mortgage industry, to computerize or not to computerize. We still need humans. So, Jane, what is the biggest mortgage you've ever written?
I want to say about $5 million.
$5 million?
Yeah.
And this was for a house.
For a house.
For somebody to live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I have one now that that's $3.8 million for. In the property was a co-op in Manhattan for $6 million was the purchase price. And they financed $3.8.
And so they
my average loan size is about $1 million.
Okay. So what's the average price of an apartment today? What can you get for $1 million?
For $1 million? It depends on where you're living.
So if I want to live in Midtown.
If you want to live in Midtown, you're probably buying a one bedroom for $1 million. I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know.
One bedroom.
But the $6 million down in the Village was a three bedroom.
Three bedrooms. Mm-hmm. $6 million.
But down in the West Village,
if you could,
nice place to live.
If you could do a mortgage, and it could be any size, what would be your ideal, like, holy shit mortgage? What size would that be?
Well, I really like $1.5 million.
$1.5 million?
Yeah, that makes me happy because we're capped. We can only make, first of all, mortgage brokers and people always wonder, is my rate determined by how much you get paid, mm-hmm. which is not true.
Okay.
So I'm going to get paid by the size of the mortgage I do. And it has nothing to do with your rate. It has nothing to do with the product you choose. It has nothing. We get paid flat rate by the bank. Uh-huh. So, and then we're capped. So we're capped at $10,000. So that's...
Explain that to me. So you're writing a $1 million mortgage, mm-hmm. but you're capped at 10,000. Mm-hmm. So you can't go over 10,000.
I can't go over 10,000.
Wow.
So it didn't used to be like that before the all the regulations changed. Uh-huh. Mortgage brokers could make as much. You could make $30,000 on a $1 million loan if you wanted.
Wow. So you're writing a $6 million loan and you can only get 10 grand for mm-hmm. it. So you really have to be engaged. You really have to really want to do this thing because it's like, it's not like being a realtor. You get, sell the house and you get 6% of the loan. Right. It doesn't matter what it is. So it has to be a labor of love and something that you enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my average loan is $1 million. But the people that come to me and they're getting a $300,000 mortgage, I spend just as much time and just as much care putting in their scenario.
Jane has done a few mortgages for friends of mine who they absolutely love her. And, you know, like I wanted Ron to call into the show and share about his experience with Jane because he absolutely loves her and brought her flowers. And you guys are friends now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, tell me about like the relationship. What kind of an individual do you have to be a mortgage person?
Well,
what helps?
I think the patience helps. For me, I think being sincere, being transparent, mm-hmm. helping them helps them trust me because mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, but I've also worked with alongside mortgage people that were bullies saying, if you didn't get it with me, you're not going to close and you're going to have a hard time and you're going to wish you came back to me. and they were too scared to do anything else. So he did a lot of business. So I don't know. But for me, I have to be sincere. I want to help. Some of my downfalls are like when I'm talking to people, I have to get in that I have kids because mm-hmm. they think I'm 14 years old. Right. My voice sounds young. So I have to, you know, give them that comfort level that I'm not 14. 16. And, you know, I've been around. I've been doing mortgages, so I know what I'm doing.
Right. I've been around a long time and I know what I'm doing.
So that's important. And just giving them options, helping them think outside the box. Uh-huh. Everybody comes to me and they think they need a 30-year fixed mortgage. And I say,
yeah, let's talk about that.
So let's talk about, do you really need a 30-year fixed mortgage? I said, so pretend you're in your 60s and you're buying $1 million house and you're getting a mortgage for $800,000. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen when, say, your parents die because they're maybe in their 90s, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, we'll get all this money and we'll get property and we'll probably pay off the mortgage. So why do you need a 30-year mortgage? Because if they're already 90, probably in 10 years, you're going to inherit all that money.
Right.
So you don't need a 30-year mortgage. Why don't you just get an adjustable rate arm for 7 or 10 years, pay a point less in rate, and live a little easy, more comfortable.
I guess because people think that if they get 30 years, it's cheaper. It's a little bit cheaper. But when you think of the overall, it's like, am I going to live in this house for 30? Am I going to live in this one bedroom for 30 years? I'm probably going to live in my one bedroom for 30 years. But, you know, am I going to live in this one bedroom for 30 years? Mm-hmm. Right? I don't have a mortgage now, but, you know.
But no, a 30-year fixed is the most conservative, mm-hmm. but it's also the most expensive.
Oh, really?
Yes. Over time.
Because over time, it's the most expensive. So it would behoove people to get...
So you can get a 7 or 10-year ARM and have a point lower in rate. Mm-hmm. So say instead of 4.375, you're 3.375. Mm-hmm. Your monthly payments are going to go be lower. It's still amortized over 30 years. Mm-hmm. But by the time 7 or 10 years comes, you're going to be out of there. You're going to have sold it. So why did you need the 30-year money?
Mm. Do you hear that, people? You can get the... You can get the lower term mortgage and amortize it over a period of time.
Of 30 years.
Over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And you have an option. You can roll it over into another 10 years or something.
Yeah, you could refinance. But most of the time if people think they're, you know, if it's a young family that's maybe they have a 4-year-old, mm-hmm. and then I'd say, you know what, get a 30-year fix because your kids are gonna go through school, you're not gonna move, you don't want that over your head. But if it's somebody that's 25 and they inherited money and they have enough for a down payment, they're buying a studio apartment, they're not going to be there 30 years.
We hope.
So, you know, let's get a 5-year mortgage and you know, when you get married, we'll do a house for 30 years.
So what's something that you think is really important for people to know about the whole mortgage industry or applying for a mortgage? What's the thing that people hiccup on?
Credit is important. Somebody called me the other day and wanted to know if I could get a better rate. And I said, what rate did you get? And she said, 3.875. And I said, sounds like a perfectly fine rate. Why are you not happy with that? But, you know, and rates have gone up since you got that. So what's wrong? And I said, I hope you locked that because rates have gone up since 3.875 because now they're more like 4.25 up to 4.5. And she said, well, it's because my credit score is low. I'm like, well, I can't help you fix your credit score if your rates are not going to be better if your credit score is not fixed.
Right. So I was at an event about 3 weeks ago. It was for FIDI down by the financial district. Mm-hmm. And there was a mortgage broker there. Guy, I'm sweating, people. There was a mortgage broker there. And he told us about the best mortgage rate, which was 7 whatever, right? And I said, I went up to him and said, how comes people never talk about the worst credit score? And he says, well, the truth of the matter, they're not allowed. They're bound by law not to mention what is a bad or a low credit score. Because if they do that, people came to them with the low credit score and they refuse that person. It could be a form of discrimination. So you can't discriminate against people because of their credit score.
Oh, well, you can because there's guidelines that you know, that are set by the government, Fannie Mae, that say you can't get a mortgage if you have this credit score. So that is...
Here's another one. Here's a big, big one that I was talking about this week. So, like, a lot of people have these really ridiculous student loans now, right? And I'm sure over a period of time, there are going to be people that are going to foreclose on or not pay the default on these student loans. How does the student loan non-payment affect your mortgage?
Non-payment of credit does affect your mortgage. So student loans are one of those things that are, you know, you pay a set amount.
Right.
And it's, trying to think of the word I'm looking for. But, yeah, if you default on your student loans, then it's going to affect your credit. So that's a problem.
Right, because I remember when I was...
And there's a lot of regulations now around student loans. We have to count them. Even if they're on deferment, we have to count the future payment. So we can't just ignore the student loan.
Because I know with credit cards and things like that, you can always make good. Mm-hmm. But with a student loan, is that possible to sort of, you know... I have a girlfriend that she probably has about now 100 and change in student loans. And she only had a master's degree. But she defaulted on a lot of the payments and she hasn't paid it. will she ever be able to get a house?
Yeah, she will, but she'll have to restructure those student loans to consolidate them to get them into one manageable payment. Maybe, you know, and then clean up her credit over time. It takes time. Some of those things stay around for 7 years.
So the question that I want to know, so a person that has a student loan, fortunately, I got scholarships. I only paid $8,000 in loans, so I'm lucky. So a person that has student loan and hasn't paid them, but now can consolidate them and make payments, how long is it before they can actually apply for a mortgage? When does it become alive again? But they have no other credit problems.
If they have no other credit problems and they clean their act up, mm-hmm. I would think, it depends. There's a lot of other factors, but right. probably at least 3 years, I would think, right. before they start getting back into acceptable range.
Oh, okay.
But it depends on how bad it got right. and how. What are the things they did?
She didn't pay it. Just say she didn't pay it in 15 years.
But they can do other things too to improve their credit. They can, you know, car payments that are scheduled payments, mm-hmm. and they're consistent, mm-hmm. they can show that they pay their rent on time. And I just read an article about they're going to try to get people that pay rent to be on their credit report.
Oh, cool.
So that can count as a positive thing for them.
Oh, because, yeah, some people might be paying their rent for mm-hmm. 10,000 years, but maybe they didn't pay a credit card or,
right.
you know. But, okay, so there's things that they're doing to support people mm-hmm. and not have people locked in.
Yeah, credit is... you want a ratio for the debt that you're allowed to have mm-hmm. on your credit to the actual expense you have mm-hmm. to be low, like 20%. It used to be under 50% you were good.
Right.
Now it's more like under 20%. So, you know, if you have that Macy's card and they give you a $10,000 balance, you don't want a $9,000, you know, they give you a $10,000 limit. You don't want a $9,000 balance.
Okay. Cool.
Because that's going to hurt you.
Right.
So you want a very low balance on that credit card, and that's going to look good. And you shouldn't close. A lot of times people make a mistake of closing off their all accounts. They'll mm-hmm. call me and say, we just closed all our accounts so that we can get a mortgage. I'm like, you just shot yourself in the foot.
Oh. So people, don't close credit.
Don't close credit.
Don't close credit. Otherwise,
just
you're going to shoot your foot in the
down,
foot.
Pay it down, but don't close it.
Yeah, pay it down.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're going on break again?
Yeah, we're
going
to go on break again. So... we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter, and we're talking mortgages with Jane Timlin on Live Life Your Way or Beyond Potential Live Life Your Way. You can skew it whichever way you want to. So you just talked about FHA, which is the...
Federal Housing Authority.
Who are they and what do they do?
So they'll guarantee the loans. So it's easier to get a loan with them because you can have a really bad low credit score, mm-hmm. and you can only put down 3.5%. So it helps people get into housing. But I don't like to get people an FHA loan unless they need one, mm-hmm. because they also have about $10,000 in fees that they put up front and they build it into the mortgage. So you're paying more than you should be paying.
Okay. Well, is the rate the same?
The rates are reasonable. The rates are low usually, but it counterbalances itself because then you need PMI insurance on top of that, which is private mortgage insurance. So it basically works out more expensive.
Right.
So I don't recommend it. I mean, we can do a mortgage with 3.5% down, not FHA. So if your credit scores are good enough and that's all you can put down, then that works. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of, somehow I became the queen of HDFC housing. It's the New York City low-income housing mm-hmm. buildings. Mm-hmm. So the reason I became the queen of those is because I'll take the time and dig and find out the reason why they weren't being approved and mm-hmm. help them to get approved. Because when you buy property in Manhattan, you're most likely approving the building and the client. Mm-hmm. So it takes a long time because you're approving a co-op, you're approving a condo, and you're also approving the client. So somebody that's going through an HDFC building, it tends to have...
What's an HDFC building?
An HDFC is the low-income housing. Mm-hmm. So it's... So there's maybe they're poorly managed in the past and mm-hmm. they don't have good records and they're harder to get approved. So I've worked hard trying to help them get approved.
Right.
So that's how I became the queen of some HDFC
financing. Did you have a throne with that?
No, I don't have a throne with that.
Wow, you seem to know an awful... I mean, this is really great to sort of sit down with you and talk about mortgages in a way that I never had the opportunity to speak to you about, because we're always like, you know, referring, but it's like the depth of your knowledge is pretty remarkable.
Sometimes I feel like there's no new scenario, but there right now there isn't any easy scenario.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like even the client I talked to you about today, I thought, oh, this is a slam dunk, easy, done. But it was a new construction condo, so it was going to take a long time.
Right.
And I thought, it's good. This is all good. And then I had a challenge with that. You know, and it's like every mortgage, I think, has a challenge.
Right.
Every mortgage.
I was going to say about when I was a real estate broker, I was selling a house one day and I was working with a mortgage broker who was supposed to have done all the paperwork and he didn't do a damn thing. And it was just so good that I had known other mortgage brokers and we were able to scramble and get this thing done. Mm-hmm. But not everybody, you know, not all mortgage brokers are the same. And not all mortgage brokers. And this was a time when you could get as much as you wanted. Right now, it's like a whole different kind of
thing. Yeah, we used to laugh and say, if you can hold a mirror under their nose and you see anything, then you can give them a mortgage.
What if they were alive?
Yeah, they were alive. One of the things that we have, in fact, you just reminded me, because somebody called me today and they had a loan with Wells Fargo and the building wasn't ready to close mm-hmm. and their rate is expiring. Uh-huh. And they had to pay $1,700 to extend the rate for 2 weeks mm-hmm. and they weren't sure that was going to be enough time. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have that is my golden ticket is we have a 6-month rate lock. Uh-huh. And so with a 6-month rate lock, if you lock your rate and it's the same price as our 60-day rate mm-hmm. lock, it doesn't cost any more money. So if you lock the rate for 6 months, you don't have to worry about your rate expiring in 60 days or 62 days or 75 days because it's protected.
Right.
And it's such a blessing when the stress is gone about, oh, we have to close by
such and such a date.
Such and such a date because my rate's going to expire and some lawyer doesn't care because he's mm-hmm, been busy. Having this vacation planned for uh-huh. 3 weeks and uh-huh. he's not changing it because your rate's expiring.
Right.
he doesn't care.
Or he's not going to bat for you.
Right.
Yeah. So is there anything such as mortgage? You got the rate lock, but is there any kind of insurance that you can put on top of that?
That's all you need, because once your rate's locked, your rate's not going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
But the insurance that also comes with the 6-month rate lock is if rates improve.
Right.
Which right now...
improve means going down.
Correct. So if rates go down, you get the lower rate right before you close. 30 days before you close, we'll give you the lower... We'll float you down to the lower rate with no cost.
Right.
Now, every other lender will float you down with a cost, so the rate has to improve enough to cover that cost
right.
for it to be worth it. But we'll float right down to the market, and in the last 2 years, I floated a lot of people down.
Right.
And it used to make me so happy to call somebody and say, hey, guess what? I got you a better rate. And they would be so happy.
That's great.
I'd probably be happier than they were. But
because you're doing a good job, and they're going to talk about you and you know, yeah. move you forward. So that's really kind of interesting.
So, and I felt bad for this woman. I said, well, I can start you over again. And this is what you're going to, you know, because now she locked 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
So now she's going to face what the changes in the rate, and they've really gone up a lot in 2 months.
I think we have a caller. Who's this? Bob? Okay, Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? How can we help you?
Good.
I feel like good, Kramer. How good. Can I help you?
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for Jane.
Okay, I'm here.
So, Jane, can you talk a little bit about the pre-approval process and the advantages to having a pre-approval when you're out shopping for an apartment in New York?
Yes. So it's very important to get pre-approved, and that's what I've been spending a lot of time doing these last couple months, because people are just starting to get worried about rates going up, so they want to get in while, you know, they've been thinking about it, and now they really want to act on it because they want to get in while rates are still manageable for them. So when I do a pre-approval, I'm looking at 2 months of residence history, 2 months of work history, and two years of residence, 2 years of work, 2 months of their finances, and their credit at the same time. So then I can, if I do all that, and sometimes when it's somebody self-employed, I have to look at their tax returns as well. But then I can write them a pre-qual letter. And like I was saying today, I was pre-approving somebody, and he wants to buy an apartment now because he's moving from Paris to start a new job in September, but he can't buy the apartment till he starts the job.
Right.
So it was kind of eye-opening to him. Oh, I can't get it without a job. surprise, surprise. But it was, you know, it was eye-opening that they needed to have a pre-approval. And so, yeah, and then the brokers, I don't think, take you serious unless you out with a pre-approval letter.
So, Jane, I just want to a pre-approval letter, what does that actually mean? Does that actually mean that you have the money, you have the credit scores, you have all the necessary bits and pieces? It does not mean that you are now approved. What does it mean? You're approved for a mortgage, you can get a mortgage. What does it actually mean?
It actually means that somebody looked at all your details. I looked at your work history. I looked at your, some cases I look at your tax returns. I look at your income. I look at the debt to income ratios. I'm looking at your credit scores, and I'm looking at your assets and saying, yes,
you're eligible.
You're eligible.
Yeah. Because some people think they got pre-approval. It means that I got that house, I can go buy that house. Because there's still more steps to be taken, right?
Right. They still have to go through the process. And we can, if it's a really questionable person or I'm not sure about their tax returns, I can send them to the bank to get pre-approved on no property,
mm-hmm.
get underwritten.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, I've been doing this long enough, I know what's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I can approve them by looking at all the details.
Great. Bob, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does. And one other thing I'm wondering with regards to that. So if you go in, you know,
hey, Bob,
at an apartment.
Bob,
sorry.
I'm gonna make a recommendation. Jane, why don't you give Bob your information?
Okay, my number is 212-405-1483. That's my office number.
And they can email you at?
jayne.timlin, T-I-M-L-I-N, at everbank.com.
Great.
Okay. And I'd be glad to discuss it further.
Yeah, because we're running out of time, and I just wanted to give you the courtesy of having her information.
Thank you.
Okay, no worries. Thanks for that.
You're more than welcome. Have a great evening. Thanks for calling in. Right, thanks for listening. Bye-bye. So, Jane, we're in the last minute and a half of the show. Is there any? Yeah, it goes really fast, huh?
It did go fast.
It goes really fast. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with?
I would just like to, again, have my information out there. So I can be reached on my office line is 212-405-1483. My cell phone is a Pennsylvania number because I lived in Pennsylvania before I came to New York. Mm-hmm. And that's a 610-762-2476. And my name is Jane with a Y, so J-A-Y-N-E, .timlin@everbank.com.
So,
and I'd love to be able to help people understand the process and what they can and cannot do. And
it's education, basically. Yeah. So mm-hmm. the more armed... Forewarned, forearmed.
Yeah.
And that's Jane. So I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I think we made mortgage fun, don't you?
Sure.
It was an educational. So I just want to say thank you for coming on the show. And thank you guys out there in internet radio land for listening. And I'll see you next week when we will be speaking about insurance. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on the show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.